The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is Ask Bill, and you guys are familiar with that, hopefully by now. This is our monthly Fun Fact Friday Ask Bill episode, where I answer specific real estate investing questions received during the month from emails, in-person conversations, phone calls, or through online portals such as BiggerPockets.com and Quora. And one of our goals here at the Old Dogs REI Network is to help to educate, enlighten fellow real estate investors, to share what little knowledge I have here by answering questions and to help other investors to broaden their understanding of real estate investing and to hopefully avoid some of the mistakes that can cost you later on. So you can learn through my big mistakes and hopefully not have any in the future. No, we're all going to make mistakes. That's part of the deal. But hey, they could be less severe, and that's good. So anyway, before we get started, just want to wish you guys all well here. We're finally starting to get cooler weather here in Southern California. You know, cool, like, you know, it's like down in the 70s. I'm freezing out here. No, I'm sure you guys out in New York and places like that are laughing. But hey, it's okay because, you know, it's all relative, right? And I do have a few relatives out there too in New York. But anyway, I'm just going to try and give you some quick announcements and then jump into our topics here, or actually into our questions here. I just want to remind you guys, we have this great contest going on, okay? And I was asking for suggestions for prizes, and I've been getting a lot, but our producer said, you know what, Bill, I'm going to offer you this. And this is a cool prize, okay? This is going to be one of our main prizes we're going to give away. And of course, to get in the contest, all you have to do is head over to iTunes, do a rating and review, and, you know, you're entered in the contest, okay? And then we're going to draw from the reviews that we have, and from those reviews, we're going to give away some of these cool prizes. But get this one, okay? Have you ever thought of doing your own podcast? Well, now you can, because Mino Studios, who has produced the Old Dogs REI Network podcast since we very first started over 2.5 years ago, will help you to make that happen. Yes, that's right. Tim Edmondson, our producer and wonderful friend, and brother-in-law, by the way, who I think is the best podcast producer out there, will help you put together your first pilot episode. That's right. If you've always dreamed about doing a podcast, but never really thought it could happen, it can now. That is, if you win this contest. So all you have to do is write a review, and we will draw names out of the review bucket and submit. Okay, these are reviews that are submitted during the month of October or November 2018, and we're going to do a drawing out of all those reviews that came in, and that's going to be one of the cool prizes. So you could just totally join me here in Podcastville, okay? There's more great prizes coming, so just stand by and keep listening, okay? Sounds so salesy, huh? Okay. Other news, just to update you here, I am doing a lot of rehabbing and in Memphis and Indiana, just a lot of upgrading. We're kind of trying to do it before the snow comes and it gets real cold. So we're doing some good stuff, getting, you know, properties ready, doing some good turnovers and some good things there. Also, just to let you know, our Airbnb business is crushing it right now in Indianapolis. It has worked out really, really well for us. And that is something I would highly recommend, especially if you have multi-properties or a multi-family property where you might have some units that you want to, you know, keep going, and you might want to pull in twice the cash that you would pull in from a normal rental. On the off-market apartment front, we are making some headway here. In fact, we're looking at some real serious candidates right now. I am hoping, Lord willing, that we might actually be able to put an offer in before year end. So we are praying about that and hoping that comes up soon. So I'll keep you updated. You guys will be the first. You be the first guys to find out. Okay, so on to the show. Question number one, okay? And this was, now I didn't really have a chance to get the full authorization for this question. I try to get everybody's approval. Sometimes it doesn't always happen. But anyway, so I'm going to leave names out and specifics. But this one's about assessing a neighborhood. And it says, hey, Bill, my name is, well, just say Joe here. My brother and I are looking at getting into the indie market, and not independent market, you know, like indie, you know, movies, indie music, indie. Okay. Anyway, Indiana, we're talking about. And they're looking at buying a fourplex, okay, and in a certain zip code. They, you know, kind of gave me the rough idea on the price and so forth. It's an older building, kind of like the ones that I own. He's got some main concerns, and these were them. What should rents be in that market? Is that a great area, or should I be avoiding it? In parentheses, high crime, transients, D-class, you know, properties, etc. And the third question is that a rapid growing area? Now, he's talking specifically about a zip code here, and I'm just, again, trying to honor him and not divulge where this might be. But he is asking, you know, is this are there B, C, D classes and so forth? So anyway, Joe, that's just the cover name here, but Joe, great hearing from you. And I'm just going to tell you right up front, it's difficult to tell by looking at a zip code alone, really anything that's real definitive. And again, unless it's a area that is a huge expanse that is all the same. But most zip codes have variable types of properties. I understand your reluctance, to share a lot of detailed information, and that's okay. But really, you know, I need an address to really give as, you know, a better assessment. What you really need to know is it a good neighborhood? And if it is a good, you know, and if it's a good street, okay? So the zip code is a little too broad because, I'll give you a case in point. 3-bedroom, 2-bath home in Memphis, okay? I checked this place out really, really well. I mean, at least I thought it did for a guy that really didn't know a heck of a lot when I bought it. Great house, you know, built in the 80s, brick, good condition. Good neighborhood. You could see there's pride of ownership there. But you know, I looked at everything. It looked like there was growth there. It's strong. You know, all the indicators were there. Home prices were going up. What I didn't do though is I didn't really track, you know, a couple of even streets over, because what was happening was something I couldn't detect by the data that I looked at, and that was that this home was a rental amongst, you know, many owned, you know, homes where people lived in them, right? Resident owned homes. And so I couldn't, you know, I saw, well, there's a few rentals out there. I could see some for rent signs, but this was, you know, didn't look apparent what was going on. So I bought the house and no problem getting renters in it. It was going great. And then things started to happen. Quality of renter went down. The time between occupancy was getting bigger. And I'm going, what is going on here? And so, as I did a little bit more research, I found out that there really was an issue in that if I would have looked maybe 3-4 blocks away, I would have noticed that there are large, almost entire blocks being purchased, like almost like wholesale. And those properties were being wholesaled out. They were being sold to investors. There were also turnkey companies buying lots of homes in that area. And all of a sudden, this nice little neighborhood that was a nice blend of, you know, rentals and regularly owned, owner-occupied homes. All of a sudden, I am in a place that is like almost all rentals. And, you know, you cannot control how other landlords are going to screen their tenants and try to provide a nice living experience for those in the neighborhood. A lot of times they're just there for the money. And so what had happened is, the home was doing so well, you know, the equity went up. I took a cash out refi against it because I had so much equity in it. And boom, you know, everything's just cruising. No problem keeping people in this nice home. And then when it started to go down, so did the value of the home. And that was a drag because I'm thinking, wow, is the bank going to, you know, the due on sale clause, you know, pull that on me where they want me to, you know, to basically make up the gap, you know, on this, you know, 85 or 80% loan or whatever it was. And so I think that, you know, started to get me. But then I just realized, gosh, this is really, really tough. Neighborhoods are important. Streets are even more important. Need to know the street. You need to know what's going on there. So I think I made my point. So the first thing I would say to you, Joe, is that there are some good free resources that you can check out that will give you a good feel for things going on in a neighborhood. One of them is called neighborhoodscout.com, and there'll be a link in our show notes, so you don't have to write that down necessarily. And another one's called spotcrime.com. We'll talk about what kinds of crimes are occurring in the neighborhood and, you know, with what kind of frequency. Both of these are free services that will help you assess your neighborhood, especially crime rate and other factors. All you have to do is put in the specific address in it. So it's a great resource if you ever get a chance to check out those. Since I don't live in Indy and I'm buying properties there, but I'm not living there, I'm probably not the best person to ask about real specific neighborhoods because, again, I would talk to people that live there and are not just living there, but are doing business, specifically real estate business, in the area that you're interested in. So I talk to realtors and real estate agents, investors, property managers, people who really work day to day with those areas. Property managers are great because they're seeing what kind of tenants, you know, you can get for a certain property. And they can give you the firsthand assessment regarding things of safety, investability, whether it's a B, C, D area. I mean, you know, Ds are pretty bad. You can see a D area. But, you know, looking at this as I thought it was close to a B when I bought there. I'd probably say it's a C, C minus now because of just some of the economic indicators. Those are, you know, some of the key things. Now, you also asked me what should rents be? And the answer is whatever the market allows. And you, how do you know that? Well, I always start with Rentometer. Rentometer.com, again, another free online service that you can plug in the address, the number of bedrooms, and they'll give you a range of what should be a good offering. Now, Rentometer, I love the product, and I, you know, I'd probably be a spokesperson for them if I could, but it does have some drawbacks, and sometimes it's difficult because they're just looking at what's for rent. So if you see a 3-bedroom something, it may be a home, it may be an apartment, it could be a duplex, could be all kinds of things. So you have to really know that it's something comparable to yours. It could be a much older, a newer building, could be a luxury apartment. We don't really know all the time. So that's a good place to start. But then I'd also use services like hotpads.com or apartments.com, Zillow, realtor.com, and Trulia, and do searches for rental properties in your area. Put in the criteria that would match as close as possible to your particular property and get an idea. You're going to come up with some comparables. Once you look at all these sources, you'll probably be able to come up with a good idea of what this property I'll rent for. You know, make sure it's as comparable as possible, same age, same number of rooms, you know, similar square footage, that kind of thing. And then you should also call some of these properties, call the people that have these properties to ask them specifics about the property. What deposit do you acquire? Do you take Section 8, or if that's not a concern of yours, or, you know, do you pay all utilities, or do I have to pay something? And what kind of amenities as well are included? So try to, you know, I do a little Excel spreadsheet when I'm looking at potential areas, and you put in as many comparable properties as you can. I mean, this is kind of what the assessors do. This is what inspectors do. They do look at comparables in that regard. You also asked, is it rapidly growing area? Well, another one that's kind of an involved thing. Both of these are going to require, like I mentioned, the rents, and to assess whether it's a rapidly growing or an emerging area, something of that nature. You need to do your homework, and you're going to have to dig in and do some research and some phone calls. This is probably a little more difficult to answer, because you really have to kind of define what you mean by rapidly growing. Do you mean incoming population, certain percentage increase, new property construction going on, new businesses opening up? Are there a lot of jobs, or is the high unemployment, or all the above? Now, finding info for neighborhoods is a little tougher. And I did mention, as I said back there, like a Neighborhood Scout and some others that can help you address some of these things. But the statistical stuff is a little more challenging. And generally, you'd need to go to websites like census.gov as a means to be able to check census facts and figures on these on this kind of data. But again, that's for a whole city. It's not always, for a smaller area or smaller city. So to assess neighborhood growth, you kind of have to enlist the help maybe of a local realtor or someone who has access to the MLS, for example, and they can look at home sales in the area and tell you, are there a lot of homes being sold? Has there been an increase in the number of homes sold? That could be a negative, depends. Have prices gone up? And you can also access rental information there too. Have rents gone up or rents gone down? Is there a stronger demand for rentals? And a lot of those you can answer, or you can see just by looking at the MLS. So in other words, are homes selling fast? Are home prices going up? Is there a strong demand? Have rents increased? Those are the types of things you want to look at. And I think a good online and other free services, propertyshark.com. That's a great place to, you plug in the address. They can tell you a lot about the address you're looking at, but it'll also tell you what's going on in the neighborhood as well. Also, it's real good, again, if it's a growing area, look for some of the signs. For example, are companies coming into the area, maybe large employers, for example, that are going to need good people to work. And if it's a company, a white-collar company, blue-collar company, another is to look at neighborhood services and businesses. Is there a Starbucks close to the area that or the home that you want to buy? How about Whole Foods or Panera? These business locations are carefully researched and established by major corporations that specifically target growing and prosperous areas with looking for higher disposable income residents and people that have more desirable economics to buy the more expensive products, for example. The type of people that they are targeting would probably make pretty good tenants. So, you can latch onto their research by finding out if they are in the area, or maybe they're coming to the area. Maybe there's a new Whole Foods opening up. Or is it a place where there's a lot of check cashing businesses or liquor stores, businesses that cater to lower income residents? That doesn't necessarily mean it's bad area, but it may be an indicator that there may be, a tougher folks that may find it difficult to pay rents, especially if you're part of your model is to increase rents there. Are there large, stable employers nearby that can produce good tenants? Now, some of the best folks out there, come from government facilities like a civic center, the county seat, universities, hospitals, large tech companies, people like that. I mean, are there employers within a reasonable commuting distance from your property? Also, look in the local papers, especially local business publications. Go to the Chamber of Commerce website. Check out city planning, growth, and development websites. Are there special incentives being offered to businesses to attract them to the area? Maybe tax incentives. Large employers, is there a redevelopment efforts in struggling areas of the city that they're trying to fix up and reduce crime and try to deal with issues like homelessness, etc.? Also, plan a trip to Indy. I mean, you can do so much from afar, but I'll tell you, you really learn a lot when you go there. And plus, you can make a lot of contacts. Book your calendar solid. I mean, I'm from early in the morning, meet people for coffee, to late at night, taking people to dinner. But also, spend a few days in the area where your property of interest is located. Check out activity in the area. Come there at, 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. Are lots of people getting in their cars in that neighborhood to go to work or shuttle kids to school? If not, why? Are these people that are unemployed? Are these people that are, maybe on some sort of assistance and they don't have to go to work? And do the same thing at 5 or 6 p.m. to see if people are coming back from work. Go there late at night. And what's going on? Check local parks, businesses, bars, places like that. Are people congregating? Are there police around? What happens on weekends? Are the parks filled with families and young kids having a great time? Or, is it kind of seedy folks that could be dealing drugs or something? You can tell a lot by driving through a neighborhood, at those various times. Stay there, a few days, obviously, 3 or 4 days. Catch some weekdays, catch some weekends, and see what's going on in that community. So that's just a few ways to kind of help you assess an area to see if it really is the kind of place that you want to start investing. And like I had mentioned too, if you can look at trends that are happening, especially in the sales of homes, the number of rentals, are they increasing or decreasing? That'll also help you determine whether or not you are in a path of progress or a path of destruction here, kind of like why I ended up in. But nonetheless, good stuff, I think. A couple of quick ones here. Okay, somebody asked me, is now a good time to buy, basically? They said, I have $20,000 saved up sitting in my bank account, and I want to invest in real estate. But real estate prices seem to be at a high. Should I wait? Well, I think it's a great question. I think when many people think of investing in real estate, they're thinking of buying a home to live in. It's like a lot of people would say, oh yeah, buy a home. It's a good time to move in and you can, but there are people that call themselves real estate investors. And the purpose of buying real estate is to acquire an asset that generates cash flow. Very different from buying a home. A lot of people see their home as an asset. And I get it. I know why you would say that. But according to Robert Kiyosaki, for example, author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, assets are things that put money in your pockets, while liabilities take money out of your pockets. For example, when you buy a house as a home you live in, it usually takes money out of your pockets in the form of mortgage payments, insurance, property taxes, utilities, repairs, and so on. When a real estate investor buys a house and rents a house out to a tenant, the tenant should pay for the mortgage, the insurance, the taxes, utilities, repairs, etc. And what's left over is called cash flow, or cash on cash return, or return on investment. And that goes into the real estate investor's pocket, right? So you shouldn't have anything coming out of your own pocket, because the tenant should pay for those things. So that's a big difference between an asset as a home you live in and an asset solely an investment. So if you're looking at investing $20,000 in a real estate to generate cash flow and to hopefully build equity, I would say any time is a good time to do so. The question is, which market should you invest your money? Although real estate does have national characteristics, and I've mentioned on the show, I believe it's a seller's market nationally, and you'll see trends, prices going up, prices going down on a national basis. But really, real estate is comprised of a lot of local markets. And there may be those local markets where, you may see prices tapping out and topping off here nationally. But in the local market, you may find a regional market where home prices are just starting to go up. Maybe there was a little local recovery, or a new business came in the area, or whatever that really impacted. You can buy homes cheaper, and in 5 or 10 years, you'll have equity plus the advantage of the cash flow. And you got to keep that in mind. If you are an investor, you're you should be primarily buying for cash flow. We say it on this show all the time. Cash flow is king, right? So even if home prices are high, it doesn't matter, okay? You can still generate a consistent monthly cash flow income that will continue to benefit you even though a recession may be happening, because people still always need a place to live. It's just a matter of knowing your market and buying smart, okay? So you don't go out there blindly just buying anything. No, you really need to make sure it's a market that makes sense and you have an opportunity to increase rents and as get a good steady cash flow as well as build up equity over time. So to answer your question, should I buy or wait? My answer will always be buy now. Real estate will always be the best investment option anytime. And I did a podcast on buying in today's market that has some tips and things that might be helpful for you, and you might want to listen to that. It's called 10 Tips for Buying in Slow Markets. Well, that is it for today, guys. Sorry I ran a little bit late, but hey, got a lot of news to convey and a lot of information. So I hope that helps you guys. Well, that's it for today. Please note, old dog listeners, everything presented here today can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. Just look for the episode on Ask Bill, episode number 248. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.